Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Our study tonight will cover Deuteronomy 5 through 11, but if we have time, we'll get to a little bit about Joshua going through the land in the book of Joshua. Moses was the writer of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. Penta meaning five. God is the author of all scripture, but he used men to pen the words. And except for the commandments, in Exodus 31:18, God wrote the Ten Commandments for Moses on tables of stone with the finger of God. They were written. And the compilation of all the scriptures are called the book, meaning the Bible. And it is a book of books. We call the New Testament, as we go through the various books of the New Testament, we call them books of the Bible, but actually they're letters that were written to the specific churches like Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, etc. And Moses was not alive when the book of Genesis occurred, but God gave him those things to write down. He was born at the time of the Exodus and lived his life in Egypt until God delivered them. And we, like Israel, are God's people in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness. We are in this present evil world in which we live. We're surrounded with the same kind of enemies and evils that they were surrounded with as they went into the wilderness. And God would have us to live in the promised land, which is the place of spiritual maturity, the place where we would have all our needs met by God, and we would walk with him and be protected by him and provided for by him. Galatians 1:4 says Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. And thank God for that. We like for it to happen soon. In chapter 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, I want to read verse 1 through 4. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak unto your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. And the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mountain out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount. And God said, I am the Lord thy God." So he gives them commandments and statutes that he is repeating that he had given in Exodus to the nation of Israel who violated those things. And there's four words in the first verse to pay attention to. The first one is hear. Hear, O Israel. To hear is, we think of as a common thing as long as our hearing is good. Folks who lose their hearing or get a weakness of hearing would give anything to have their hearing back. To know what people are saying and to filter out the noises that they don't know what they are, just they hear a bunch of noise. It's vital that we open our ears and our hearts to the Word of God, that we're seeking to hear from God, seeking to learn from God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. A couple of scriptures say, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Hear, and your soul shall live." The hearing ear lies at the foundation of all true, practical Christian life. We must hear the Word of God. Not just listen and let it go over our head, but seek to have hearing and understanding of what is being said in God's Word. The proper attitude of the hearing ear lies at the foundation of all true spiritual life and a walk with God. It's proper for us as God's creation to be willing to listen to him like we listen to no one else, because his word is authority and it is divine. Israel was to give ear to the very word of the living God. They heard God speak from the fire, and Moses heard God and told them what God said. So they had a close connection. Israel was to do what God said, but the tribe failed, and except for Joshua and Caleb and the spies that went into the land. And the people became discouraged. And God said all that adult generation would die off in the next 40 years. And then he would let the next generation, their children's children, go into the land if they would obey him and do what was right. I'm sure we're all aware of listening to someone who is intently a good speaker. Some of you listen to TV programs. Some of you listen to radio programs. We used to listen to cassette tapes. I missed that day because my car had a cassette player in it years ago. My car didn't have anything but a radio now. And I don't even have a CD player, you know. So we went from cassettes to CDs, and now cars aren't even made with CD players unless you special order them or something, you know. So can't hear those kind of things. We listen. We hear good speakers, and we kind of hang on their words. We like with some to go on and on. Wish you hadn't stopped. Wish you'd kept speaking. Wish you'd told me more about what you're preaching on. But sadly, many of the world, even if they go to church, they're looking at their clock and they're anxious for the time to be over as quickly as possible because they got something else to do when they leave church. Our ears should be carefully attentive to God's word, listening and seeking all understanding, because we are required to obey what God says. We learn great truths listening to God, listening to his word. If you have not already, you should learn the prophetic plan of God for the ages. This is the church age that we live in dispensationalism. The dispensation of grace, or the church age. But it will come to a close at what we call the rapture. And on this earth, those left behind will go through the awful tribulation period. And God will use that to turn Israel back to him. Christ will return at the close of the tribulation and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up his kingdom and exalt Israel to where they should be in the land and in possession. There's more to come after that, my friends. After the 1,000-year kingdom, Christ will create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. And before that, there's going to be a great white judgment, a great white throne judgment, where all the lost will be cast in the lake of fire, tormented day and night with Satan forever and forever. Thank God we have the opportunity to be saved today, and we have the opportunity to tell our loved ones and our friends and the people we meet how to be saved so they don't have to go to hell. They don't have to face those judgments that are in the future to come. But it is very comforting to know there's always some disagreement about small facts and events and time frames and all that sort of thing. But to have the scope of what's going to take place is important. And we know that. Peter made a very noble reply in the book of Acts in chapter 5, where the disciples were scolded. And they were told, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." That's a truth that we should keep in our minds and in our hearts, that we should obey God rather than obeying man. And you see the text from Acts 5, 12 through 40 is where that is found, that event. And these doctors of the law, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin wanted to put the disciples to death, and one of their leading men, a doctor of the law, was a man by the name of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel spoke up and said, leave these men alone. If what they are doing is of men, it will come to naught. But if what they are doing is of God, you seek to overthrow it, you fight against God. And so they turned the disciples loose. We later learned that the Apostle Paul was trained at the feet of Gamaliel and becoming a Pharisee himself, and was taught the law in a very setting, much like a college institution, to gain great knowledge and ability. No doubt this is along the reasons God allowed Paul to live and to become a Christian and to then be the man he chose to take the gospel to the churches and to write the largest number of books of the New Testament are written by the Apostle Paul. And so God used his education in a great way. This emphasis is something that we must recognize. We want to obey God, the duty of every Christian. All true ministry has its source in God, and it rests in the divine authority of God to give us the authority to do what we do as a church. The church was started by Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he gave us authority to take his word to the nations and to train and make disciples of the people that we meet, to give them the gospel, to show them how to be saved, and then to baptize them, and then teach them all things that he has taught us, and to do that among all nations. And we still send missionaries to foreign fields all over the world, but we have more people from all over the world coming to America today than there's at any age of time since all the people from Europe came to America many, many years ago. And we can have opportunity to make disciples of all nations and never leave our own hometown if we're busy and effective in the work of the Lord. In chapter 8 through 11, Moses makes Israel and us to take an important look at ourselves. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Likewise, in the preparation for the Lord's Supper to partake communion, we are taught in 1 Corinthians 11:28 to let a man examine himself, lest he partake wrongly. Let him examine himself. Be sure you're saved and confess your sins to partake in the Lord's Supper. And Moses is writing his farewell address. Let's look at chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy with this generation before he leaves. When I say before he leaves, I mean before he dies. He's going to die in this generation with all that older generation that's dying off. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And he says that you're to talk of them when you walk along in the way, when you come back and forth to home, and when you get ready to lay down at night. All these things are opportunities to teach your children the things of God. So we're to examine ourselves. They were to examine themselves. And they were to obey the things of God. And we are to obey the things of God. Moses is seeking to help these people to not to fail where the previous generation had failed, and be better at obeying God than they had been. In John 14:15, Jesus taught, as Moses did, the motive to obedience is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. And he said, the second commandment is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So love is the motive for obedience unto God. Do we love the Lord? Do we see what he has done for us? Do we see the sacrifice? Do we see we love him because he first loved us? And now let us return that love by our obedience unto the Lord. So let us, as Israel, hear the word of God and be obedient to it. The disciples were trained for 3 years for the day that Christ would ascend back into heaven. For 3 years, Christ discipled them, and then he ascended back into heaven. Then the church had begun with a missionary outreach, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it flourished and spread, and people were saved and followed the Lord in baptism. Second motive to obey the Lord is found in chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy in verse 10 through 25. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee that great goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods. So he gives them another reminder of how Israel continuously failed. They forgot. They followed other nations rather than the word of God. They wanted to be like the other nations rather than to be like God. They didn't obey, and because of that, they suffered for it. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it is a time of remembrance of the Lord's death until he comes. All the suffering he went through for us, we are to remember that. We're never to forget it. We're to keep it in our mind. Christ loved us and suffered for us. Now we should love him, and we should seek to obey him. And we should see, as Israel did, beware lest we forget these things. Second motive for obedience is gratitude out of remembrance. Third motive is separation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. I won't read verse 1 through 16, but it's in 1 through 16. Like Israel, we are a chosen people. We are called to be holy, to bring glory to the name of the Lord, to separate ourselves from all evil, and to overcome our own fleshly desires that so often lead us astray. All our motives are the operation of faith, that it is by faith we please the Lord. It is by faith that we can approach God and please God and accomplish anything for the Lord. And got a couple of verses as reference here. Look at Joshua 23:14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come unto you, which the Lord your God promised, so you shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. If you disobey God, you would receive judgment. If you serve God, he would be pleased with you and bless you with all the things he has promised. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 9 through 13, the scripture says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Which we recognize Israel was to face that if they were saved. But he refers to those who were not a people, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So this aspect of being God's chosen people with an aspect of being holy before God and being obedient unto him and doing the work which he's called us to do, God has been faithful. But the older generation of Israel forgot. They forgot about the promises. They forgot about all the miracles. They forgot about all the power of God in overcoming Egypt and the Red Sea and bringing water out of a rock. And all of those things slipped their mind when it came time to obey him and go into the land and take the land of promise. 40 years have gone by. Now God is promising to these group now that the 10 nations that live within the promised land have heard of God. They have heard how God destroyed Egypt. They have heard how the Red Sea was parted. They have heard about the God of the Hebrew people. And God will send hornets in to weaken the enemies before them. There's debate over the hornets, always debates by theologians. I don't have any problem with God sending hornets to sting them so bad it affected them and that sort of thing. They said some people believe it was other nations that came in to weaken them. But I like to follow what the Bible says, literally. Now these 40 years have gone and the older generation has gone. And God had a timetable for the conquest of the land where they were going in. Look at chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 7, 22. "The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. By little and little thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the fields increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed." And Joshua and Caleb believed God that he would provide for them, that he would give them the land, that he was more powerful than all these nations. And so Joshua and Caleb did what was right. And they did what was right in the right way. And they did what was right at the right time. And they did what was right for the right reason. Be not like the horse or the mule. Turn over to Psalm 32 in verse 9. Psalm 32 verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And then in chapter 31, just one chapter back, chapter 31, verse 14 and 15. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. We can all say that today, tonight. My times are in his hand. My life is in God's hand. God knows when my time will come. He knows when your time will come. We're going to see many things in our lifetime that might cause us to fear. It might cause us to have anxiety. But the Bible's clear. We're not to fear the things of this world. We're not to fear the enemies. We're not to fear with anxiety. But we're to let God know our requests. And we're to give him praise and thanksgiving. And he will supply our needs. So we are to trust him. I give you one more that's not on your outline here, number 8. It took Joshua 7 years to cut across Canaan, leading the people. Then they conquered the south in chapter 9 and 10 of Joshua, chapter 1 through 8, 7 years of conquest. And then the southland in chapter 9 and 10, then the north in chapter 11. But each tribe had responsibility to mop up what the whole did not finish, and they failed to do what they were supposed to do. Instead, those other nations that survived and lived near them worshiped idols and had beautiful daughters. And Israel was tempted to do what God told them not to do. He said, do not make covenants with them. Do not marry with them. Don't give your sons and daughters to them. That's exactly what they did, and it corrupted them. And we live in a world that, if we aren't careful, the people of the world around us, we can want to be like them. We can be corrupted by them. So it's important that we learn to stand true to God's word and obey him and do what he has called us to do. Thank you all for being here tonight. Say good night to those that are watching on live streaming. Thank you for tuning in. We pray for the Baskins, and we pray for the Templetons, and we pray for the Ellers. We know those are folks who watch the live streaming and have needs, so please lift them in your prayers. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing on your people. You know my heart's desire. I ask you to help me to help your people. I pray that something that is said in the lessons we'll find a home in the hearts and minds of your people when they need it most, and that you can use it in their lives to help them to be a witness, to overcome difficulty, to know how to get hold of the Lord in prayer. And so do that for us, we pray, because we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.